The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Okay, welcome to Senior Talk Radio here at 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Hal Spielman. Good morning, Hal.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
Very good, thank you. I know you have a house full at home, so we were talking about that before the show started. And today it's interesting because we have Dr. Michael Levine with us, who is with Advanced Urology Center of New York and a volunteer staff at North Shore LIJ. And North Shore LIJ happens to be our major sponsor for our Aging in Place in Suburbia Conference, which is going to be held on September 30th at the Yes We Can Center. And it's just one of the many things that Project Independence does in helping people age in place in the town of North Hempstead.
And that's a wonderful program with many, many facets to it. And people should make an effort to contact and learn all the things that are available. And of course, we talk about aging in place, but it applies to all seniors in our community.
Absolutely. And there will be transportation from all the various centers in the town of North Hempstead. So call 311. We'll be talking about this for the next month, but call 311 for any information that you may want on in reference to it. Michael? Okay, versus Dr. Michael Levine every time I say
that's fine. Absolutely.
Do they call you Dr. Mike sometimes?
They do. That's been part of the repertoire, absolutely.
To start the conversation off best, I like the person to explain to me what you do. And I think that's important for our listeners so we can get a feel for where we're going in this conversation.
Thanks, John, and thanks for having me back. It's always great to be a guest on the show. I think you do fantastic work.
Let me just interrupt you. That's Christina Liu. Does a fantastic work on this show. I appreciate the compliment, but I didn't do it.
I'm a urologist. I've been practicing for 18 years now, and I've been in the same practice since. We're located on Marcus Avenue. As a urologist, my population is skewed towards the aging population. I would guess that the average age of my patients somewhere in the late 60s, but certainly extending into the late 90s. I deal with all aspects of urological care, ranging from kidney stones, prostate problems, all forms of urological cancer, and, of course, the sexual issues which come with aging as well.
Okay.
And increasingly, there's recognition that people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s are having sex.
Absolutely. Yeah. More than you
and
can imagine.
It.
And loving it. More than you can imagine. And I think it's really a sign of the times where you really can't watch television without seeing the people in the bathtubs holding hands, looking over at the horizon, and you know, looking at the different options they have to be successful sexually.
But who has the bathtub in the backyard when you see those commercials?
I don't
know anybody with a bathtub in the backyard, honestly. Oh, you do?
How? I have a hot tub in the backyard.
What would be some of the normal changes that a person, say, 60 and over? Because, you know, oftentimes I think a person would turn around and say something's terribly wrong, and something's not wrong. It's your body's changing.
Absolutely. Our body changes in all different ways. You know, as we get older, we can't run as fast as we did. We can't jump as high as we used to. And we can't perform physically and, for that matter, sexually as we age. But it doesn't mean you can't be successful. So
that's both men and women.
Both men and women. And I think both men and women differ from or have similar and very different changes as they age. Clearly, as you age, you know, you lose muscle mass. You can develop arthritis, which decreases your flexibility. And that's for both genders. And men typically have a slow decline in their testosterone, which could decrease their sex drive and sexual performance. And women postmenopausally go through their own genitourinary changes, which could make sexual performance difficult, but not impossible as long as they educate themselves about the options if they're motivated.
Okay. Now, you see on TV often enough testosterone supplements, like this natural stuff?
Sure. I think a lot of it is you have to be careful about advertising because, you know, there's always the kind of the subtext of a profit behind it, and ultimately these companies buying ad space need to profit to make this affordable. But if you dig into the science of it, there are some good options, both naturally and on a prescription basis. So, again, the educated consumer can do very well.
Is that a general problem to men, or is it You know, the advertising makes you think every man has this problem. But is that the case? Is it a?
I think it's much more prevalent than we believe it is, or than that we actually have data to show that it is. You know, these are very, very sensitive topics, and we only know what we know. So if I could tell you that in my practice, and I'm kind of approximating numbers, that 20% of my men over 65 years old have reported sexual dysfunction, I don't think that 80% of them are performing like they did 30 years ago. So the data is very sensitive. Right. People are very not always forthright and not always honest about it because it's somewhat embarrassing and it's very personal. But I think as we age, just like I mentioned, you can't run and jump as fast. You just simply can't perform as well as you used to sexually. And those people who are willing to confront that are the ones who are most successful.
Right.
Question. Yeah. Have you ever considered using a questionnaire that your patients would fill out independently, so they're not confronted with someone frowning at them?
Sure.
That would ask them about these kinds of and start accumulating information. Obviously, the reason I ask is because my field is market research,
right. Yeah.
And we used it so extensively in the Suddenly Solo book.
Sure.
That I wrote.
We actually do. I mean, every intake has a kind of feeler for different problems that we deal with. Many times people are referred for a kidney stone or for urinary difficulties, and they check something off that talks about difficulties they're having performing sexually. And the conversation ultimately could have really very little to do about their kidney stone because they're really much more interested in performing sexually.
Right.
So you're absolutely right. If you could pique their interest and get them to come out and talk about it, that often dominates the discussion.
Yeah.
I think that's the importance of going to someone like Michael, say, a healthcare provider, that there has to be an emotional part in it. Like even you with the patient,
right.
It can't be, can you, do you? It's got to be a conversation, I think, softer, almost
sure.
Like, you know, you got to skirt the issue, unfortunately.
You do.
We use it in our radio show, in the Suddenly Solo radio show, and in the book, we use a different definition of sexual activity. So it's not just intercourse, it's the touching, the feeling, the stroking, the warmth of relationship that is part of the total activity that we classify as sexual activity. And the nice thing about that is that it isn't as focused on having an orgasm.
Absolutely. And I think part of the problem which keeps people underground is that it's very hard to disarm them and let them know that this is a place that you could talk about it, because it's very, very, it's probably the most personal thing that we hold on to as humans. So you need to create an environment, and the questionnaire is absolutely successful because it opens the door to say, we could talk about this here, and then you need to complete the environment to have a successful conversation. But you're right, it's part of the picture. I think in some ways, how you classify a topic is important. I think erectile dysfunction is probably not the best term because it sounds like you have a problem.
Exactly.
As opposed to talking about returning to intimacy.
That's the key word.
Well, that's very good. Yeah, versus the dysfunction or return, you know.
Sure.
It's the softness. Right. Yeah, again, going back to softness. Once you say something, it goes into your head. Your head controls an awful lot.
Absolutely.
And so if I think I have a dysfunction.
Correct.
If I think I'm okay, but I need a little help, that's
right,
a whole
right.
different perspective.
People don't go to the gym and say, I'm here because I have physical dysfunction. They come because
they say,
I want to improve my physical abilities. I want to get back into shape. It's a very positive conversation.
Yeah, and if you saw me lifting weights, you'd say that.
Yeah. So controlling the dialogue, I think, and the words that we use to describe a particular topic are very important as well.
Yeah.
No, I agree with that. When clients come to you, do you go into diet? I mean, you have alcohol, first of all, which is not part of a diet. But nevertheless, people can say I'm not functioning. But at the same time, it's like, well, maybe you drop two martinis and things will be a little bit better for you on both sides, either side.
Well, I think one of the things that we've observed is that as people age, they learn to decrease their alcohol consumption. So the guy that used to be doing two martinis finds he can't quite handle that any longer in his 70s. So he cuts back to one martini or a glass of wine he still may drink, but in a different quantity and in a different way. And of course, as we all know, alcohol does relax people.
Right.
It also interferes with, with what the ED products are supposed
to
do. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, diet and all this is very important. But I think it's really, John, what you're talking about is absolutely true. We need to get away from the what can I do to treat your problem as opposed to and shift it to the why do you have the problem? Can we go back upstream to say why are you here? And we are what we eat. And if we don't talk about what they're eating, how they're sleeping, are they smoking, are they stressed out, are they creating a community that can be the groundwork for their success in these endeavors, we're not really doing as much as we can. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be a doctor to say, oh, somebody came in with erectile dysfunction, so you gave them some Cialis, you gave them some Viagra.
Right, right.
That's not doctoring. Getting back to the root cause of the disease is really doing them a service.
It's going back to Eastern versus Western philosophies.
Yeah.
And then I don't give you a pill, try to find out what the root cause is, and you'll have a much greater success ultimately.
Absolutely.
Well, we're dealing with natural phenomenon that have to do with aging. As mm-hmm. we have an aging population, these become more prevalent. And the understanding that is having a patient understanding that he's dealing with a natural situation.
Sure.
And that carries over into his head as well as into it. So his body is dictating things that are going on in his head. And we know that the head position, I don't mean the way it's lying, but
what's
going on in your head has a powerful effect on what you're able to do in our broad definition mm-hmm. of sexuality.
Absolutely.
Oh, I agree. And it's also, and both you with your book and you as a medical professional, it's adjusting to what you can do. There is no right or wrong, whether you're 16 or 60. Ultimately, from a pleasurable perspective, there is no rule.
You know, one of the things we found in our research is because we interviewed 1,600 men and women in their 60s and 70s, is that the driving force for coupling was to have shared experiences. We are humans that like to be with other humans. And
what do you mean by shared?
They want to share their past experiences and their future experiences. And that aspect has carryover into the intimacy of sexuality as well.
Just throwing something different into that then. I understand what you're saying, and I would tend to agree with you. Then what accounts for the explosive nature of Ashley Madison? With literally, Ashley Madison is a dating service. I don't know if you're familiar, you know, dating, a social media dating service for married people who aren't married to each other, even have TV commercials. And it's in the millions of people that supposedly, I mean, it's just expanding from country to country. Well, it was on the news the other day, and they got hacked or something the other day.
Right. It's interesting. Dr. Ruth says, monogamy is overrated.
Okay.
And that's a quote.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with what's become socially acceptable to talk about in public these days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 50 years ago, nobody was talking about erectile dysfunction. Right. Nobody was talking about, I have this issue. It was just part of aging.
Even sex.
And sex was a four-letter word.
Sure.
So, you know, it's just a lowering of the bar of what we will talk about in public today. Ashley Madison is an adultery site. That's all it is, mm-hmm. and that's all it's ever going to be. And now people are starting to say, well, maybe it's not so bad. And that's been going on for ages.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a better venue, not a better. It's just
a
easier.
It's a tool to get it.
It's a tool.
Correct.
It's a tool to get it. Very well put.
It's one of the issues that has come up in adult communities where there are a lot of singles and they change partners easily. And both the Times has done two articles on this. The Palm Beach Post has done an extensive article on Century Village where they had a jump in transmitted diseases.
Wow.
Because they'd get one person who might hit a number of other people, and they suddenly had a jump of disease. And because they weren't using protection, they weren't using condoms, seniors, woman wasn't going to get pregnant.
Right.
And
you know what? We're going to go into a break, but that's a significant one.
Yeah.
The question of disease, you know, when you're 13, not 13, you know, you're 20, you're watching, you're saying, you got to be careful because of this.
Well,
at 70,
at
you're not thinking.
At that point, it was always pregnancy.
Right, that's true,
right.
too. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org, Senior Talk Radio, Project Independence, and you. I'm all confused. We'll be right back.